I'm scared is what I mean to say.
Yeah, I'm scared. That'll be the title of our episode. We'll see how many YouTube clicks that gets. Krypton to Alderaan. Krypton to Alderaan. Krypton to Alderaan. Krypton to Alderaan. Welcome, everyone, to Krypton to Alderaan. I am Joey, your Star Wars lover, and with me is Royish Good Looks.
Hello, Joey. Hello, podcast.
Hello, and we are the podcast that analyzes all kinds of nerdy pop culture stuff, all kinds of nerdy pop culture stuff, but it's mostly Star Wars. I'm not redoing that. I'm not redoing it. We're going to go with what I just said. And this episode, we are going to be discussing the highly anticipated Bad Batch Season 3. What do you think about that? Is it highly anticipated, Royce?
I'd agree, yeah.
But before we get into all of that, hey, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button maybe. You know, come back for more in the future because you'll get notified if you hit that subscribe button. Ring that bell. Follow us on any podcast listening platform or follow us on any social media. Just search Krypton to Alderaan and we'll be there and you'll be there. And then we'll both be there. Is that all the housekeeping stuff? I feel like I went through that really quick.
Well, now we're going to have to give Shakira revenue sharing on our video, yeah. But yeah, that's all.
You know what? Worth it. Let's get into the episode. We have the new season of The Bad Batch, the final season of The Bad Batch coming up. And you know what, Royce? I think this is particularly important to us because we just had our kind of recap of 2023 Star Wars shows. And the most important part was that...
how much I was right.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Except, you know, except for Mando season 3. Hey, go listen to our feud. Go listen to last episode's feud. A, because it's fun, and B, because no one else has watched it. It's the most important part because The Bad Batch season 2 was both of our favorite Star Wars televised thing from last year.
Unequivocally, the best Star Wars series of 2023, asterisk, no Tales of the Jedi. Young Jedi Adventures.
Yeah, Young Jedi Adventures. Tales of the Jedi was not last year, no. Right? We did not miss one? Okay, nope. Good. Yeah, you heard it here first. The Bad Batch Season 2 was the best Star Wars thing of last year. And because of that, I am very excited to get into... I would say I'm excited and also saddened and also scared to get into season 3. You might say that I'm feeling all the things. How are you feeling going into it? Are you like a little bit, is it bittersweet for you? It's very bittersweet for me.
I don't know if I've ever been excited for a TV show declaring this was the last season, but, you know, closure at least forces, you know, the writers of the show to bring it to that conclusion rather than, you know, it could go anywhere. We're going to wrap up with a big bang sort of thing. You know, it's not just going to be open-ended and next season we'll pick up where we left off. I mean, maybe it could end open-ended. Who knows? This could also be part of the discussion today of what happens after the Bad Batch, life after Bad Batch. Who knows?
I don't know about life after Bad Batch. Open-ended, close-ended, Bad Batch, big bang. I can't think about life after Bad Batch. That's how much I love that show.
We're already at a loss for words with this. I think last episode, though, I said, you know, we need a conclusion to the events from season 2. Hopefully that's what we're going to get from this. But I am also worried too, because is that going to be a happy ending? Is it going to just cut to black in the middle of Omega saying something like Sopranos or something? And you know, I think a show's like Lost that had a kind of interesting ending, but maybe it didn't stick the landing. Although I do think about shows like Breaking Bad, where I'm like, wow, I know you're not a fan, Joey, but one of like the most satisfying series endings I can ever think of. But most show endings, I don't think I've, you know, generally been satisfied with, maybe with exception of like shows such as, you know, Rebels. I think that was maybe another kind of bittersweet happy ending. I think that probably will be par for the course, maybe a bittersweet happy ending.
I do like this conversation about show endings. I, you know, listeners, let me know. I feel like I'm the only person alive who enjoys the ending of Lost. I really enjoy that idea of all of them finding each other and crossing that line together and not being able to do it until they do. Anyway, that's a podcast for another day. I feel very similarly where a lot of times maybe like live action show endings are not satisfying. But I got to tell you, animation finales, I have felt very satisfied, especially recently. I mean, I love the end of Rebels. That is also very bittersweet and sad for me. the ending of the Clone Wars, the ending of the Owl House, the ending of Amphibia. If no one watches those shows, go watch them. They're good.
The ending of Futurama the first time, the second time.
The second time, third time. I really liked the ending of Futurama before this last ending of Futurama. How's that to say?
That one ending that they did plan.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I hate to see things end. Famously, I did not watch the end. I did not watch the finale of Avatar The Last Airbender until 10 years after it aired. I just wouldn't do it. I would not watch it. So I hate, hate, hate seeing things that I love end. So this is feeling very heavy to me. But with all that said, and keeping in mind that last year, this ended up being our favorite thing, I'm very excited for this to be our favorite thing this year also. And I love animated Star Wars, and you're coming more on board. I just want it to be like it was last year. Do you think that's setting my expectations too high?
Yeah, I'm getting worried as you're saying this. You're like, it needs to be, we shouldn't put it up too high on the pedestal. You know, I'm sure it's, I have faith in the team, you know, in Dave Filoni, we trust. But yeah, you don't want to set yourself up for failure, but I do want it to continue to be, I think that's really what we mean by that statement. Not that it needs to be the best show of this year. I would love to say Acolyte was, you know, even better than this. I think Acolyte is the next thing. If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know if there's a solid date on that.
But it would still be awesome if you're like, something was better than this. Just like we talked about last episode, we ranked four shows against each other. Bad Batch was on top of other shows that we still enjoyed. So it wouldn't be a bad thing if something was better, quote unquote, on higher on our list than Bad Batch season 3. But I do think we want to continue the enjoyment, obviously.
Maybe if we could pick up on some threads of what made us enjoy it so much last season that they could continue to do this season. What we didn't talk about last episode at all was Kiner's music, which is just like, I think a real heavy piece to this as well. I don't know how much we can say about it, but just like, we know that music inspires such kind of emotion from us, and they're so good at tying those moments together and stuff like that with the music.
Dude, rewatching the trailer today, it's got like the synthesizer, blah, like it's kind of produced to be the stereotypical, you know, modern trailer vibe, but it feels like, you know, pockets are fomenting, you know, whatever the dude says from Andor, right? Like it's, right. If we're coming to this boiling point, it feels like just the music and sound design in the trailer, it's going to pop off in here. The other thing we didn't mention, music obviously important to all of Star Wars. I guess we sort of talked about animation quality a little bit, maybe when we brought up Visions last episode. But dude, the animation, I used to complain kind of how blocky everything was. You know, it's one of those people, I don't really watch it because it looks like a kid's TV show or something. And I'm 34. But it almost looks, not even almost, like at times it in fact looks more cinematic than some of the live action stuff, you know?
Yep.
Not all of it. You know, so a lot of the live action stuff also looks great. But, you know, if they're limited by a shot in the volume where they can only do so much to dress it up, in animation, sky's the limit. So almost 100%. Every scene looks incredible. So it's animation, you know, another asterisk there that it's all computer generated. But they do such an incredible job just with the looks. Even without thinking about the plot so far, I know we started on a down note of like, oh, is this going to break our hearts? Is it going to have a happy ending?
Oh, it's going to break our hearts. We can move past that. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's going to sound great. It's going to look great. It's clearly feeling like it's got a serious tone to it. And that was another theme from last year of lots of characters, good and bad, biting the dust. I mean, it ends with a main character being captured and, like, you know, put into prison, right? So it's so heavy. And that's the tone that we're starting off with for this season.
Yeah, the trailer just looks incredible. Like you're saying, like the animation of the characters, I mean, it's so much work, right? The fact that they can get this done in the amount of time that they get this done, like making those characters animating, taking the time to animate those characters and every, like the facial movements and stuff. I mean, there's moments in the dark, maybe it's easier, but there's moments in the trailer when Crosshair is in the prison cell, the way they animate his face just looks, it looks like motion capture. That's what I think of when I see it. And we know that they use that in season 7 of The Clone Wars, which was incredible. The fight with Ahsoka and Maul. They use motion capture. It just looks so good, which I think is a big part of this potentially making it one of our favorite things this year, is that it also makes our eyes happy. The beginning of The Clone Wars, the animation wasn't great, and it definitely evolved over 7 seasons. Leading up to The Bad Batch, they had like all of that behind them and they could start on the right foot with that, right? But it just also seems to keep getting better and better.
Yeah. I think it's fair to mention that. Like, Star Wars, George Lucas wanted it to feel lived in, not like Star Trek where everything's like this perfect utopia, right? So the design just of the look and feel of the universe was a huge part. Bad Batch does that in its own way, and it just looks incredible, right? I'm drawn in by that. I watch it with headphones and like I really zone in. The sound, the visuals are definitely important. Man, I'm getting kind of stoked just thinking about the production of it. And also, it's only been like a year. So they must have been like working on this as we were podcasting about it last year, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how long it takes to do what they do, but it looks great. So someone's working hard on it.
Yeah, we need to talk about animators more in general, and not, I don't mean necessarily just you and me. I think like society and people who like pop culture in general, it's a lot of work and there's very rushed deadlines and they don't always have the best working conditions or get paid. Actually, I did an episode, go back to listen to an episode of Krypton to Alderaan where I interviewed an animator when they were like fighting for equal pay and equal rights as like live action producers and writers and stuff. So there's just so much work that goes into it. And yeah, to produce this quality of thing in that time frame just seems nuts to me. It takes me like
4 hours. We can't even get our microphones to work for this podcast.
Yeah. Post-production, forget about it. But no, it's very exciting. I mean, it definitely just makes it so much more exciting to watch when it looks incredible and is also just a great emotional story. So they're bang on for almost everything. This is why my expectations are so high. I'm in this era of like setting my expectations high because I really don't want to be cautiously optimistic about things anymore. I just want to be optimistic, right? I'm so sick of saying and hearing the words cautious optimism. This is a rant. Here we go.
Let's go. Let's go.
It happened with Ahsoka, with the Ahsoka show, where, I mean, she's my favorite character, blah, blah, blah. I've said it a million times. I was so like cautious, quote unquote, cautiously optimistic about the live action show. And then I really loved it. I thought it was great. Maybe it's also because of the outside world we live in and how I'm interacting with that. I'm just sick of being cautiously optimistic. I just want to be optimistic. And if the thing is no good, then I just move on. I'm not, I mean, we'll talk about it on the podcast, but I'm not going to like wallow in it, right? The same thing is happening with Avatar The Last Airbender, the live action show, which is also premiering the day after the Bad Batch premieres, which I hope to also talk about on Krypton to Alderaan. But basically, everyone's take is cautious optimism. I just can't interact with things that way anymore. I just want to be optimistic. I've got my hopes up for Bad Batch. I've got my hopes up for Avatar. If one or both are not good, I'm just going to move on, okay? I'm going to move on by talking about it into a microphone, but I'm not going to like wallow in it, like I said.
Yeah, it's fair. And you should be excited going into it.
Yes.
You know, why would you be like, Madam Web, all the reviews are bad. I'm going to go see this movie, but I'm not expecting it to be good. Like, why?
Yeah, I'm much more keen on setting my hopes high. You know, Star Wars is all about hope, right? Or something.
A new hope.
I really want to be hopeful. That's my rant about that. Please, the next time you think about being cautiously optimistic about something, consider being optimistic about it. And then even if it's bad, just kind of moving on from there. So growing beyond cautious optimism, I want to talk about one of our themes from last season that we talked about a lot in our podcast. The idea that the Bad Batch was growing beyond what it means to be a soldier. This was a big thing for us last year when we were having these conversations. And I think it really fueled the show forward. The Bad Batch were going on different adventures. They eventually made it to Pabu, where they considered settling down. We had a whole discussion, I think, on the episode where they went treasure hunting with Fi, Entombed, maybe that episode was called. But you and I talked about how Wrecker says something like, well, we don't have a mission going right now. And like, that's how he convinces Hunter to do the thing. And Omega's like, oh, it could be fun, right? You know, they're talking about moving beyond having a mission, moving beyond being soldiers and doing stuff because they have the freedom to go and do stuff. But the end of last season, like you said, cliffhanger, Omega gets captured, Tech seemingly dies. And we know by the trailer that they're setting up to go rescue Omega. You know, they're starting the season off having to be soldiers. So I wonder what your take on this is, because growing beyond what it means to be a soldier was something that really fueled the show last year. And it's something that I think is what made the show very, it put it up a step on being our favorite thing, right? Because we were taking these characters out of where we expected them to be as clone soldiers and maybe retiring on a beautiful island somewhere.
Yeah. Well, this is how they sell it in the trailer, Joey. They're like, one last mission, right? One more, you know, one more heist and then we're out, which is another classic sort of storytelling element. So they have to complete the job somehow and then settle down. This is on the speculation side of things. Like they get Omega back and then their family with Crosshair again and they find their safe haven, whether it's Pabu or somewhere else. I don't know. I don't know if that's the ending I want to see sort of things. You know, I don't, this is, I'm scared is what
I'm scared. That's going to be that'll be the title of our episode. We'll see how many YouTube clicks that gets.
Well, because there has to be stakes. So they can't just rescue everyone and go off into the sunset happily ever after. That's Mandalorian season 3 ending, which again, that works if that's that works because they defeated Moff Gideon. They took back their planet and Mando and Grogu can, you know, be the sheriff on Nevarro. Is Hunter and Omega going to be the sheriff on Pabu or somewhere else? I don't know. None of us know. I don't know how to have. This was a very difficult episode for you and I to outline. And it's very difficult for me to even just think about where this season is going. Again, the trailer being so, you know, looming. You know, and we haven't mentioned even Palpatine yet. Like, there's such a threat behind everything else here. Not even just thinking about the Bad Batch, like the kind of universal threat.
Yeah, that's a good point. We have this whole extra thing going on here with a clone rebellion, right? And Rex working against the Empire and bringing in the Bad Batch crew when he needs help. But we also know that Rex and Rebels is like just kind of a hermit on a planet somewhere that is also like sending reports to the Empire every now and then, right? Like Wolf that sends the Empire the info when Kanan and Ezra show up, right? Like they're in those clones are in communication with the Empire. So we get there somehow, like the clone rebellion is squashed. We also have these clone assassins that we saw in season 2. We also have, you know, the death troopers maybe being down the line from those clone assassins, which is something we talked about last season. So there's a lot of extra stuff going on here that Palpatine wants to squash that the Bad Batch, just the Bad Batch crew, is wrapped up in, which is why I just want them to make it to Pabu to live happily ever after. But also, I think Palpatine's another thing in this trailer that looks great. I think he just like looks great, obviously, sounds great. That whole part is like very ominous and dark and scary. But between like the Batch rescuing Omega and Crosshair, there's a moment in Alex from Star Wars Explained pointed it out in his trailer breakdown. There's a moment when we see Crosshair in the background of the Bad Batch ship while they're on a mission, but we don't see Omega with them. But we do see Crosshair with them. Did you see that? Did you watch that Star Wars Explained breakdown trailer?
Yeah, I watched that Star Wars Explained video and caught that on the rewatch, you know, after having that pointed out. And same thing with like the troopers on Pabu or whatever. So like they've kind of already alluded to there just being a lot of not happy ending necessarily. Like people getting out, but like you want them to go to Pabu. We don't know what, but something's going to happen there.
Should we just say that for the rest of the episode? We don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen.
I think this is part of the beauty of this final season. They've said it's the last season, season 3, and mm-hmm. I don't have any idea what the heck could happen. I'm not a writer for stories. Like, that's not how my brain naturally thinks, but I do watch a ton of stories, you know? So you think you could maybe intuit where it's going to go, and I think that's part of the brilliance in their design of writing it. That how are they going to do this? Hopefully that's not them having shot themselves in the foot. Grogu's going to go off training with Luke. Never mind. Hopefully it's not going to be something like that, that it's a difficult landing to stick, that they have to pivot from something last season.
You know, that's interesting. We should talk about that sometime because you do write stories. We should talk about how you're writing music, how that relates to how we think content is written and like TV shows are written and stuff. But there is a lot. There's also so much going on in this trailer that we see other characters, right? We see that Fennec Shand is coming back. We see that Cad Bane is coming back. And they were like hired by different people to get Omega. So it'd be interesting to see how they factor in. Another big one is Ventress, who is up until now having supposed to have been dead. by this point? Is that a confusing way to say that? Anyway, up until this point, we thought she was dead. And so seeing her back and the like creators of the show have said that it doesn't retcon the events of Dark Disciple, which is the novel that she supposedly dies in. So it'll be interesting to see her back. How much of the Clone Wars with Ventress have you watched?
I feel like I've seen her pop up at some point, but that in the trailer for me was just like, meh. I know that this person exists, but I have no idea the consequence of it. Whereas like if I saw Vader show up or somebody, you know, or Bail Organa or something, I'd be like, okay, I get it. I know how they kind of fit in this puzzle. Ventress, other than seeing everybody else's reaction, that's kind of the funnier part for me, is everybody else losing their mind over it, especially your trailer reaction, you know, where Scotty Holiday points out, like, watching your mind blow is the most hilarious thing. Morning, yeah. Joey's mind blowers.
Yeah. We should do a
supercut.
Yeah, we should do a supercut of that. Okay, so you've...
I mean, I'm in for whatever adventure that she's part of. But it's just like we talked about with Ahsoka, if you didn't see Rebels. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. You know, there's speculation and I think hope that this is leading into some kind of future animation, whether it's a show or something else that's including Ventress at some point. She kind of became a fan favorite character. She goes through, I think, a really great arc in the Clone Wars. She's not in a lot of episodes, but I think her arc is really good up until the point where she's like actually helping Ahsoka. When Ahsoka is accused of bombing the Jedi Temple, Ventress kind of helps her out. So in the book, The Dark Disciple, the Jedi Order decide to assassinate Count Dooku. Like, straight up, they're going to send someone to assassinate him, which is, like, I think the pivotal point for the downturn of the Jedi Order when they make this decision. That's just my opinion. So they send Quinlan Vos. It's actually kind of convoluted. So they send Quinlan Vos to, like, get Ventress on board with assassinating Count Dooku because she has already tried. We see that kind of in the Clone Wars a little bit. And Dooku destroyed all her sisters on Dathomir. So her and Quinlan Vos team up. They face Dooku and obviously lose, and she's killed in the process. But throughout the duration of the book, like, Quinlan and Ventress are falling in love. And then at the end of the book, or towards the end of the book, she's killed by Dooku, who's trying to kill Quinlan, and she takes the shot. So her one last like little point of redemption is taking that hit for Quinlan. And that's where we leave her. That's where we have left her up until now. So that's why it was such a shock in the show to see her, because those of us who have read Dark Disciple, it's a good book, I recommend going to read it, all thought she was dead. So your meh, does that change your meh? Or is it, do you get it more now? Do you get it?
Somehow she returned.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see. You know, I mean, there's so much like Night Sister magic involved there. Maybe Quinlan gives her some of his life force like we have seen happen. Whatever. That's all like obviously speculation. But you know what? I love a yellow lightsaber and she's got one.
Yeah, so as long as she fits into the show and it makes sense for what they're actually setting up within that world, I hope it's not as contrived as like, catch me next season on Star Wars Ventress. You know, like I would like it to seamlessly tie into whatever the Bad Batch is up to, because the backstory doesn't mean anything to me at this point in time.
Oh, well, I get that,
but I have no, you just told it to me, you know, show me, don't tell me. So that's what I hope that the actual series does, right? Like make me care about the character rather than care about having to read the Wikipedia page, even though that could expand on the character. I'm not mocking that.
Read the book.
Although I do remember a lot of the 2D Clone Wars of like Ventress just like flying through the air constantly. That's kind of my only recollection, that she was like one of the main like recurring bad guys in that show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's where she was first introduced, and she has like a battle with Anakin in that movie. So I'm excited for Ventress. Listeners, let us know if you're also excited for Ventress. Royce is meh about it. So get in the comments and tell us how wrong he is. But you brought up another kind of like shadowy character here. You brought it up before we started recording, is Cid. You brought it up because that was an important part of last season, right? We're getting to know Cid and we're getting more attached to Cid. And then she's just kind of a jerk. We went back and forth in our conversations about whether we thought she was good or bad. And then she like sends them on mission without all the intel. At the end, she double crosses them. Do we think there will be a Cid redemption? Should there be a Cid redemption? Are we just completely moved past that because they're with Fee on Pabu now? Does Fee play into any of this at all? Because that's the reason that they met Fee, right? Through Sid.
I think, you alluded to like, no, you write stories. A 2-minute pop song with three parts copy-pasted is generous to call that being a story writer, but thank you for that.
Three parts copy-pasted.
If I was a writer on Bad Batch and I was thinking, what characters do I have to play with? We've got Sid, who in the last season rolled over on the Bad Batch. She's the whole reason for the cliffhanger of the finale, really. For her to come back and save the day, she's a sort of like Lando flies in last minute at the, you know, Battle of Exegol, you know, but there are more of us, you know, like she shows up. You guys forgot. You thought I wouldn't come back for you guys. You know, I was on your team the whole time or whatever. Mm. A little bit more.
A little South Park there.
A little bit Cartman than Sid there. Yeah. but that's a tool that they could use if they needed to get out of a scenario. Sid shows up. They don't trust her at first, but she saves the day. Right. And then we maybe could redeem her. But I also didn't really like her. I didn't find her very lovable, other than that she sort of was a role model to Omega. So I could see Omega wanting to forgive Sid. Maybe they cross paths and it's awkward, you know, and that's another part of the journey to be like, you know, Omega's talking to Crosshair in the other clip and Crosshair's like, you trust too much. Well, you don't trust enough, you know, that I could see that also working perfectly well with Omega, them needing to work with Sid, but them not wanting to trust Sid because she just screwed us over. What do you think?
So I feel, if I remember correctly, I went to bat for Sid on this podcast a couple of times, but then by the end of last season, I was just kind of like, she's no good. Classic Trandoshan, constantly putting them at risk and not saving them, right? Like they were abandoned on that planet and she did not send in anyone to get them or anything. She was just like, figure it out, right? So she did a lot of crappy stuff. And then sold them out at the end right after Tech died. And then is the reason
Darth Vader gets redeemed, bro. He murders all of the younglings. So
he murdered. I mean, he murdered a lot more than that. But that's a good point, because Star Wars is also a lot about like second chances and redemption. And I'm always all for a character having more of a redemption arc than Vader. Like we talk about Vader's redemption. He's redeemed for 5 minutes. Right? He throws the Emperor down the thing and then he dies.
I'm going to supercut you saying that because that is a recurring theme of this show.
But Zuko had the better redemption arc. That's all I'm saying. But I'm always all for like Star Wars characters having more of an arc than Vader. That's kind of the baseline that I set these like redemption arcs to. So you know what? I'm always open to it. Pabu became such like a pristine place for me. It became such a safe place to think about for the Batch. And we know that that's not really, I think there's some bad stuff coming to Pabu this season, but I don't want her to sully that space. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm very protective of the Bad Batch. She can just run her parlor. I don't know. I guess if she showed up at the end and was like, there's more of us or whatever, and has that Weequay and the other guy there, then that's fine. But maybe that will be something because they've made all of these connections and they bring all these people in to end the show. But
are we the only ones asking questions about Sid?
Are we the only ones asking these questions? Come on, wake up, sheeple. So anyway, I don't know, Sid.
I'm honestly having a hard time focusing because I'm still cracking up about my Sid Cartman modulation there. Yeah.
I guess I just went on like a diatribe about how Sid sends them on these crappy missions and doesn't prepare them enough. But one thing about last season that I'm not sure I would say we got the first season was there was a lot of fun. We talked about it a lot last season. That's another part of what made it special to me. We talked about the idea of like filler episodes versus like fun and how important it was that they were going off and having fun, because then we as the audience also have fun. So even in these episodes, like the treasure hunting episode, in the episode with the race, plenty of people were maybe saying that these are like filler episodes and why would you take time to do this? I think they did develop Tech a lot, but they were fun and they were fun to watch and I had fun. And I even think I remember saying when we were talking about one of these episodes, like, you know what? Omega said, why don't we just like, maybe it'll be fun. And then I was like, I want to have some fun. Let's go. Let's go on this adventure with V. I also want to watch you have fun because that will be fun for me. So based on the trailer, we don't see, they're obviously not going to show us them being like, yippee, beach day or whatever in the trailer. But it was so important last season. And I wonder how they're going to get to it this season. because, you know, it's final season and there are juicy, meaty steaks. There's juicy, meaty steaks that we got to get through.
Well, so maybe we are putting too much pressure on this, that, like, of course, the trailer has to sell you the steaks, right? I don't see why there wouldn't be some fun side quests, though, because that's always been part of it. So I do hope that we get that. You know, we joked last season, like, maybe we'll get a pod race. And then we did literally get a pod race.
That was hilarious.
I don't want there to be dramatic shifts in the overall kind of narrative tone if it is really serious in this, like, 3-episode premiere. Or if, like, in one of those episodes, for some reason, number 2 is a side quest, like, they don't tie together or something. That's always something we end up talking about, is the pacing of when you're dropping in a side quest versus continued arcs. But I don't want there not to be some fun little tidbits. I could go for an episode that was Omega and Wrecker doing whatever, because you just know that that would be a good time.
I think this is so funny. I think you said,
I want that to be a show. That's going to be the next one they're setting up.
It's Wrecker, Omega, and Ventress. They're out on, you know, out in the galaxy. I think you said the same thing verbatim last season. This is ringing a bell, you saying, like, you just want to watch Omega and Wrecker just having antics going off on an adventure. Which, yeah, I would love. One point is, I want there to be fun. I think it's worth dedicating time to that, especially when the stakes are high. Not just for us, but for the characters, right? Having these episodes where they can go off and have fun when the stakes are high makes it so much more intriguing and so much more approachable from the audience perspective. But then also to put it in perspective so that we're not like, that was a filler episode, when it finally does come up, right? Like, it's okay for them to take these breaks. Take some R&R, Bad Batch. Have a good time before you go have to face the Fire Lord. Listen, I have Avatar The Last Airbender on the brain, all right? There's a lot of references.
Well, I think there's enough time in the season. What is it, like 12 or 16 episodes? Like, there's plenty of time to get to a little bit of everything. Whereas, you know, the 6-episode Ahsoka season, was that 6 or 8?
8.
You know, I don't know what the runtime is, but still just feels a little bit like, you don't always get enough time, but with Bad Batch, there's almost always the same exact episode length. For whatever reason, they stay more consistent, which that's what we said last week or last podcast as well. We said Bad Batch is so consistent, or at least I said that, I think.
Yeah, don't put words in my mouth.
I think that we can trust them to give us a little bit of everything. They've not shown us any other reason why that would be the case.
It seems like this episode has become me being like, I want this to happen. And you being like, don't worry. I'm sure that everything's going to be okay. Which maybe is just our relationship in general, but something that's definitely going to happen through this season of Bad Batch. I'm going to need you to sit on the other side of this computer machine and tell me that everything's going to be okay.
Everything's going to be okay. Hear me, baby. Hold together.
So I think aside from all of that, a position where maybe we won't get as much fun, I mean, it'll still be fun to watch, but the characters won't be having fun. And something that we've never gotten before is a 3-episode premiere. I don't know. That's a super exciting thing for me when I saw it. In animation terms, almost a feature length thing to watch when it drops, which is just so, I don't know. It's very exciting. Were you excited to see that it's a 3-episode premiere?
Yeah, make it a spectacle. Like, the premiere is supposed to be that way, you know?
Yep.
24 was always a 2-hour premiere, right?
First 2 hours right off the bat. Yep. Then it's only 22.
Sets everything up. Yep. Exactly. You know, that way you get 2 hours out of the way.
Oh, and then you got to sit to 22 hour long episodes of that for the rest of the season. Jeez Louise.
Oh, come on, man. You want to talk about shows that didn't have great endings? Maybe we could revisit that one for another podcast as well. But yeah, it's a spectacle. I'm excited that there's 3. That makes me even more into it. And I think that there's like a mid-season with 2. I love that. And again, that's part of how they maybe have written this. I'm hoping that that's an arc. I love how Andor did this with the arcs. If that's the case, that'll be a lot of fun. If there's a pod race in the middle of that, that'll still be fun. But that might make it a little less special of its spectacle nature. But we'll see. Hopefully that's an arc, though, that like we're starting off big and then we can move slowly towards the middle of the season when we go off on adventures, when we kind of settle down and we move towards what's actually going on, rather than the previously on of the first couple episodes wrapping up everything that was loose from the previous season.
Yeah, you know, Clone Wars and these animated shows, they like to do these 3-episode arcs. So it makes sense that the first 3 episodes might be storming Mount Tantus, right? And at least getting Crosshair out, who knows? But you might say that that's where the fun begins. Anyway, and then the ending might be where the fun ends.
This is hard, man. I wish that I had better words to describe my feelings and predictions for the ending, but there's 16 episodes between now.
So we got time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think before the premiere last year, we did like a speculation episode, and I don't really have any speculations for the ending other than like, I've always wanted to see this clone rebellion story be told, and we're getting that. And I don't necessarily want to speculate how it's going to end. I certainly don't want like all of our heroes here to bite the bullet or bite the blaster or blaster bolt or whatever. I would love to see everyone retire on Pabu and just see Wrecker fishing and Omega building sandcastles and whatever. But yeah, I don't really have any speculation on how it will end. I'm just kind of like, again, it's bittersweet to me.
Maybe there's going to be some poetry stuff here. Season one, Omega joins the crew, finds out, you know, she takes her first steps into a larger world. Season two, she's captured. I don't know if there's maybe a parallel with like Han or something in an Empire, and you got to get him back and get the gang back together to pull off the last mission. Maybe they do got to get everybody together for the Clone Rebellion and have that one last stand sort of thing. But I don't think that parallels with Return of the Jedi, because that is sort of your happy ending there. I think maybe it parallels more with like Revenge of the Sith, and it's, you know, they go down swinging.
Yep. Yep. Well, that's sad to think about, which is why I don't want to speculate on the ending. Other than I daydream about them living happily ever after on Pabu.
I don't mind them going down swinging. I think I'm going to try to fear set this a little bit, you know? Like, we didn't expect to lose anybody in season two, and we did. That made it hurt so much more, which I think is great storytelling, too. I would love to see all the clone brothers that they've amassed a team. They go storming the castle or whatever they do. And if we lose a few people along the way, you know, like Mandalorian season three, when Paz Vizsla closes the door. He closes that door.
And another one opens. Oh, no, it doesn't. He bites it hard.
But I love that when he sacrifices himself to save all the other Mandos. That also was another moment where I was like, man, that is, there's some juicy steaks there.
Juicy steaks. You know what we love here in Krypton All Around? Juicy steaks. Are you going to write a parody song after the last season of The Bad Batch? Parody of Fall Out Boy's Sugar, We're Going Down.
And Omega, we're going down swinging. Yeah, maybe.
You heard it here first. You know what? If they go out in a blaze of glory, that would be a good ending for them.
Well, some people make it out. Some people don't. You can still have some people.
Rex, we know Rex makes it.
Wrecker has to make it because he's in his new show.
Yeah, with Ventress and Omega. Yep. Other than the, like, again, going back to one of the themes we said last season about them growing beyond what it means to be a soldier. Now they're being brought back into the fight. And so that's the only thing that kind of is where I'm digging my heels in a little bit more, where they were just getting to the point where they were like existing maybe more happily. And then they got pulled back into the fight. And now this season seems like it's setting up to be a fight and for Palpatine to squash the rebellion. So we'll just have to wait and see.
All right, listeners, are you as scared as we are scared? Let us know down in the comments. We would love to hear from you. Let us know what your predictions are for this season. Sid Redemption or not, are you on board? Leave your comments here on YouTube or hit us up wherever you like to social media. And make sure to subscribe for more coverage, because we're going to be coming at you every week with Bad Batch reviews. We've committed to it. Hopefully we can stick to it. Please don't
probably should have said that.
Any other shows on air during this season. What did you say? Last Airbender?
Yeah, besides Avatar, which I'm hopefully going to be covering. Yeah.
Anyway, tune in next week
for more. We nailed it.
This is great. This is going to tie together so well. Tune in next week. We'd love to have you back. Thank you for listening to the show today. I've been Royce.
I've been Dr. Hemlock. Just kidding. He sucks.
And we've been Krypton
to
Mount Antis.
We're going to go get our friends back.